You're listening to the social program on Radio Islam International, and we have Maulana Ibrahim Bam with us on the line to give us a preview for the hour ahead. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you, Maulana? How's the spirit of the year going for yourself? Catching up on some of your reading, I suppose, Maulana?
Yes, alhamdulillah. I must say that I did a tweet recently with regard to that it is a wonderful time to be in Johannesburg. Now, that is not in any way envying the people who are enjoying the coastline or enjoying holidays, which I hope them the best and hope they will come back rejuvenated and have a nice holiday and have a nice break to be able to resume with their objective in life and resume with their normal day routines. But, of course, it is really a wonderful time to be in Johannesburg. There is no traffic. There is, wherever you go, things are peaceful, serene, tranquil. And one of the things that I normally do in December, which alhamdulillah I take a lot of pleasure in, is to be able to redo all my kitabs. You know, throughout the year you take your kitabs and put it in places, and of course during the course of December you get a time to pack your kitabs in the right way, put them according to themes, put them according to topics, and of course also take your notes and file your notes away according to some aspect of normality to be able to find it more easily whenever you need or require any one of the notes. So alhamdulillah, for me that has been one of the things that has kept me busy in the month of December.
Alhamdulillah. Ma, a preview to the hour ahead?
Well, obviously, we normally do our book, Enjoy Your Life. We have been doing the chapter 100 Ways to Win the Hearts of People, which we had spent 1-2 weeks. And alhamdulillah, especially last week, we had phenomenal amount of response with regard to people giving tips. And I'm sure, inshallah, when we get back again in the new year, maybe we'll just round off that discussion. But today being the 31st of December, and of course during the 31st of December, we also come to what is known as, in the environment that we are living in, as the eve of New Year. And I thought we will just focus our discussion in today's program about the aspect of New Year. Maan, I believe that you had also asked a question with regard to New Year resolutions, and maybe perhaps we can just take that discussion further and ask people with regard to what they would like to do in this coming year. We are aware that our calendar runs according to the lunar calendar, and there are great benefits and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that. But our ulama have also not made it haram to use the solar calendar, and of course this is an opportunity where normally people start afresh, people look at things maybe a little differently. It's the beginning of a new year for many students and the beginning of a new year for many people who will be going to university, going to Darul Ulooms, in the different Darul Ulooms who start off in January. So I think it would be a time for us just to look at this phenomena and maybe look at various angles towards this phenomena.
We look forward to the discussion. The lines will be open after the commercials. You're listening to the social program. Lines are open, 011-854-1548, 072-786-1548. More to start off, you know, as we discuss New Year's celebration as well as resolutions perhaps later on, when we look at New Year's celebration, what sort of context can we provide to our listeners in this regard?
Well, I think the first thing, let us start off by saying we all know that it is most appropriate to use the Hijri calendar. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَحِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. They ask you about the crescent. Tell them that it is a means of measuring your time. There are great wisdoms in using the Hijri calendar. First of all, it is divinely sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Allah has regarded it to be and said that it is a means of measuring your time. So as far as possible, Muslims should rely upon the Hijri calendar. And it is many, many benefits. One of the benefits is, just to give an example amongst many others, is that it rotates the season of the holy months. So for example, in the month of Ramadan, if our Ramadan and fasting had gone according to the solar calendar, then certain regions in the world would only have had Ramadan in summer, and certain regions would only have had it in winter. And of course, that would have been perhaps, it would not have been balanced. And of course, one of the beauties of Islam is, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a justly balanced ummah. By having our holy month and our blessed month and our fasting, based on the lunar calendar, what it does is it rotates rotates the blessed months in different seasons for people in one respective region. So, for example, in South Africa, the month at the moment, Ramadan is in winter, which alhamdulillah it's relatively easier. Alhamdulillah, we have been able to do our fasting. A time will come when it will be in summer. Alhamdulillah, that will give us more mujahada, more reward, inshallah. So this is the one of the many benefits with regard to keeping your calendar based on the lunar. But our ulama have also said that, and of course there is also an indication in the third ruku of Surah Yasin, Allah has also made the sun as a means of calculating time. And Allah has used and has spoken about وَشَمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا, that the sun also goes according to its circuit and it completes its circuit. So there is a subtle indication that it is not haram to use the Gregorian calendar. Now, I don't want to go into the names of the months. That has always been a moot point, and people have said that amongst its harms is that it has its reference to certain pagan gods. And then, of course, whether those references remain the way it was originally intended, or with the passage of time when it is used not for those reasons. No one today regards June, July, August as a reference to pagan gods. It has become a means of a passage of time or calculating time. Now, I don't want to go into that particular type of discussion. All to say is that there is nothing prohibiting Muslims using the Gregorian calendar. Now, when we come to that aspect with regard to the Gregorian calendar, this is now, especially in South Africa, comparative to many other parts of the world. In Europe, given the different seasons, even the academic year is not done according to the calendar of January to December. Normally, you have the calendar, the academic calendar starts off around about August, September. So that is where you see the starting off of the academic year in Europe and many other parts of the world. But in South Africa, our calendar goes from January to December, and of course when you come into January, it is not only the beginning of a new year in terms of the solar system, but it is also the beginning of many other things. It's the end of your holiday, it is also the beginning of the academic year, it is also the beginning of when people start off the schooling year and start off the university year, for example. So I think it does bring about various dimensions and angles to this time of the year.
Interesting perspective in that regard, Ma. You know, as a side point also, just to get your thoughts on it, the passage of time, we find that many people complaining about how fast time is passing these days. Is it really that time is passing by fast, or is it that people who make the worst of the time are the ones that complain the most?
Well, there is no doubt whatsoever that time, I mean, there is also a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said with regard to time, and he said, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ, one of the signs of Qiyamah would be that time will go very quickly. And in the hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a year will go like a month, and a month will go like a week, and a week will go like a day, and a day will go like a few hours. And I think anyone will really bear and see that this is the reality. Many people find this happening on a regular basis. They say, all of a sudden, it's already Ramadan. It's already the end of the year. And I think it's something that we have to take into account, and that is why it is so important for us to keep this in line, that life is short. Don't make it shorter by wasting time. Life is short, and especially given the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said towards the end of time, one of the signs of Qiyamah would be that time will go so quickly. So if life is short, please see to it that you don't waste your time and make it even more shorter.
Well, a couple of years ago when you delivered the Eid talk at the Eid Guy, I remember the theme was celebration through reflection. Now, the Western idea has a certain idea of how to celebrate, that they have to be perhaps in a party, many of them drunk, many of them drugged at the time to welcome a new year. What is the Islamic point on celebrations?
Well, one of the aspects has always been fascinating with regard to our deen. And I think sometimes, you know, last Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr, I took the opportunity, saying it's a day of good, it's a day of happiness. And the theme that I chose was the blessedness and the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala in the deen of Islam. Wallahi al-Azim, there are so many things I made mention of, and there are so many points that I mentioned with regard to the great ni'mat of Islam Allah Ta'ala has granted us. And one of the great ni'mat is the way we celebrate and when we celebrate. So when we celebrate at the end of Ramadan when we have completed the month of Ramadan. We have had a month of discipline in which we have been able to control our desires for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have a time when we have been relatively closer towards Almighty Allah. And at the end of that particular month, we show our joyousness and our expression of joy and happiness, and we celebrate after doing good deeds. And how do we celebrate? Normally, there is this whole idea of celebrating through merrymaking and feasting, and we just have a different dimension. And on our days of happiness, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look at what is actually happening in today's time when people equate happiness with celebration and celebration with merrymaking, feasting, drinking. In fact, just 2-3 days ago, it was one of the lead articles in one of our famous newspapers, the Star newspaper, where it said that people are just worried about alcohol consumption. And one of the ministers said he went into a place and he just saw that the young people in this time of the year, other than getting drunk and other than just, you know, taking into alcohol, there was no other activity that they took joy in. And that seemed to have been the entire focus of their holidays, the entire focus of their merrymaking and celebration and happiness. I recall reading one article when abroad to say that, you know, there are many places in the world where people from UK go to holiday for. And one of the places is the islands around Spain, you know, Ibiza, etc. And they said by 10 o'clock in the morning, most of them had been already drunk, and that's how they spend the entire day. So this whole particular aspect of celebration through the means of, you know, feasting and drinking into alcohol is something that is foreign to our values and teachings. And it's something that we should reflect and perhaps not only reflect, but even go beyond that by shunning and staying away from something that is so far removed from our values and our teachings.
011-854-1548, if you'd like to contribute more. Is it disheartening to see that now we have so-called Muslim countries also coming on board and, you know, also boasting about the budget that we're going to be spending so much on our New Year's fireworks?
Yes, Maya, it is sad. I think it is sad. I think it can be much better used, especially in the time and age in which we are living in. And especially perhaps in those countries where they are spending millions, if not billions, and then in the very same region in which people are, there are people who are dying of poverty, and there are Muslims throughout the world, including South Africa, who are putting tent cities in refugee camps in Syria for Syrian refugees. And in that environment, in that region, for people to spend so much money, obviously, besides it being wrong, is just morally incorrect.
Here's a message coming through from one of the sisters. I'm going to read it out. It says that I'm sitting with two young boys, age 16 and 17 years old, talking to them as young minds, asking them if they have New Year's resolutions, and their response is only doing better for school. So I question about more reading Quran and better Islamic. And my son Abdullah said to me that is it not supposed to be a New Year's resolution for the Islamic year? So how should I address this situation with regards to putting out goals for them and also Islamic as well as academic?
Well, I think the first thing we need to understand that there is no dichotomy between the world and the akhirah in Islam. There is no dichotomy between the mundane and spirituality. You see, one of the difficulties has always been this. In fact, one of the chat, many of the WhatsApp groups that you are in, someone posted recently about this aspect that when we do read, we must read in the name of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given an impression that reading should only be religious reading. And the point that I had then forwarded and put forward was this, that but that is a challenge. That, you know, what is Quran will always be Quran, what is deen will always be deen, what is regarded to be spiritual will always be spiritual. But one of the challenges that we face as Muslims has always been this, is that how do we make our mundane activities, how do we make our business also into deen? I mean, look at the Holy Quran, it's full of these type of references. Allah in the Holy Quran, the 18th Supara said, Mali hadha rasul yakulu ta'am wa yamshi fil aswaq. Even the disbelievers, they objected to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what type of Nabi is this? He eats food and he walks in the bazaars and he is doing business. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it in the Quran in such a way as if to say, there is nothing objectionable in it. That is in reality the beauty of this Nabi. That he doesn't only give Islamic guidance for people who are in the mosque. His guidance is also towards people who are in the marketplaces. Allah in the Holy Quran refers to a tribe whom Allah had destroyed because of unfair business practice and dishonesty in dealings. And one of the statements are so revealing, so full of trying to reflect over it. Ya Shuaib, asalatuka ta'amuruku an natruka ma ya'budu abauna wa nafala fi amalina ma nasha. Oh Shuaib, does your deen tell us what we must do with our wealth? Which shows that they regarded deen not to interfere in the business dealings. And the beauty of Islam is that Islam said talabul halali faridatun ba'd al-farida. The acquiring of halal risk is a religious obligation. It is not only for you to go and do good in your business or to put food on the table or to look after your wife and children or to be able to fulfill your financial obligation. It is a religious duty. And I think maybe that's a very, very beautiful question by the sister. How do you bring that aspect? And I think perhaps one of our weaknesses have been that we have only portrayed deen to be in the masjid and salat and not beyond that. And I think maybe we should be telling our youngsters that as much as we also look at the reading of the Quran as an objective, we also look at the performance of prayers as an objective, we also want to do good in this world. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Allah, give us good in this world. Good not necessarily only in the material sense, but also utilizing the world, the time that Allah has given us for constructive purposes.
Here's a message that comes through, Ma, on Twitter, and it says that I found that by penning down your goals and looking at it irregularly, it becomes easier for you to work towards achieving those goals.
Yes, and I think there is no doubt whatsoever. There is no doubt that there is a certain sense of permanency in writing. I remember one time a person by the name of Abdul Wahid Hamid came to our offices, and he's written some very, very beautiful book, Islam, the Natural Way, Companions of the Prophet. The Companions of the Prophet that he has done is two volumes, very beautiful pen sketches of the Ashab, and beautifully written in contemporary language. And while we were speaking to him, he said that, we told him that, what else do you do? He said, I concentrate much on writing. And I asked him the reason, and he said, there's a degree of permanency in writing that is not there in any other activity. And there's no doubt that this is one of the aspects. And the unfortunate part is that we have always been, as an ummah of writing. You know, I mean, writing has always been the hallmark of our deen. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, was at the age of 13 when he wrote his first book. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi was 13 years when he wrote his first book. His grandson said, towards the latter portion of his life, I heard my grandfather one day saying in the minbar of the masjid, that, O people, I thank Allah that with this hands I have written something like 2,000 volumes of books. Now, we have always been someone that, you know, we have oral tradition, but we have also been people who write. And when you do write, it gives a sense of permanency. But one thing I will say also is that when you do your resolution that this year I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, then let those resolutions be equal to the values that we espouse. Now, for example, I know one of the most popular resolutions throughout the society in which we are living in would be something like my New Year resolution is I'm going to lose weight. I'm not saying that it is wrong. Sometimes it's good health benefits. But, surely, there can be much more to life than just losing weight.
Or getting fit.
Okay, let's put it this way. It could be that a person is getting fit because he wants to have a better quality of life. He wants to make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So let's give people the benefit of the doubt that they have good intentions also in that also. But I mean, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to lose weight to be able to look smart or look beautiful, or that dress that I couldn't wear last year, I will be able to fit in it. I mean, surely there could be something much more better than that, unless, of course, listeners might disagree.
The lines are open, 011-854-1548. Here's one that says that in 2016, I want to live my life without stress and worries. I don't need to be rich or famous. I just want to be happy.
So beautiful. MashaAllah. Can I just give you a recipe with regard to which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says? And I think it's very important. I mean, Allah knows us better than anyone else. Allah is the one who creates us. So Allah knows in what lies our benefit, in what lies our tranquility, in what lies our contentment, what lies our satisfaction. If you, for example, take any appliance, even if it's an ordinary appliance, if you take a kettle and you don't use it according to the manufacturer's specification, so if there is a particular voltage with which you have to use the plug to be able to use that kettle, if you use a different voltage, what's going to happen is that kettle is not going to work because you're going against the manufacturer's specification. Now, Allah is our creator. Allah is our manufacturer. Allah is the one who has created us. Now, Allah has told us in what lies our contentment and our satisfaction. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. In the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will hearts find contentment. So to the brother or sister who had given that nuclear resolution, that New Year resolution, sorry, not nuclear resolution, New Year resolution, that I want to live a life without stress and be contentment and blissful, mashallah, beautiful one. But together with it, I think the cornerstone would be, I'm going to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one in any way says that the remembrance of Allah is that you'll be in the masjid 24 hours a day. No. Allah, our beautiful deen has called us, told us, given us time for relaxation, time for recreation, time for each and everything. But at the end of the day, while we're doing all of that, at the end of the day, and behind each and everything that we are doing, whether it be business, whether it be studies, whether it be our fitness regime, whether it be for us to walk or do exercise because it is one of the objectives of our deen to remain fit, to be healthy, all of that, behind all of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
More another message coming through. Someone saying that my young boys want to go out with their friends this evening. How do I convince them not to go out, and what are the alternatives?
Well, firstly, there is an alternative, alhamdulillah, which one of our young alims, Mawlana Shakir Bayat, has been doing for several years, in which he calls the young people towards the masjid. Then, of course, the program starts off from half past nine onwards in Masjid Sirajul Jannah in Evans Park. And alhamdulillah, there is a talk by Mawlana Bilal Mulla, his collective recitation of the Holy Quran. There is a zikr by Mawlana Israel Chunara. There is a panel, question and answer panel, in which I will also be part of one of the panels. And then, of course, there is refreshment. And the intention is that while other people at this time of the year are busy celebrating, by many a times in that celebration, the whole environment around those celebration is one in which you are oblivious and neglectful of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here is a place where people would be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an environment where normally people are oblivious and neglectful of Allah ta'ala's command. And there's a hadith that I remember reading in Targhib. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, a person who remembers Allah while people normally are neglectful of remembering Allah at that time, he stands out like a green leaf in a tree in which all the leaves have fallen down. A person who remembers Allah while people around are neglectful of Allah, he is so, distinct. He is like a green leaf in a tree in which all the leaves have withered and fallen away.
More over the years, you've been part of the program several times. What's your own thoughts about the program? How have people been coming out and benefiting from the program?
Well, I must say that when it was first mooted, I really thought that would it work? I mean, not because of the objectives. Obviously, the objectives was good. It was noble. But I just thought that, I mean, would people, go away from what normally is so glamorous outside? There is fireworks and there is this and there is that. At the end of the day, I was just doing some Google, Sheikh Google we sometimes refer to, I was just looking at the aspect of fireworks, and I saw the fatwa of Mufti Ibrahim Desai. He said that when there are certain things which has dual purpose, right, it's permissible to sell it. Right? It's permissible to sell something which has a dual purpose, because you are not responsible for what a person uses it if the item which you are selling is good and bad. Sugar can be used in tea, in cakes, and it is widely used in beer and alcohol. But you're not responsible for that. It's permissible to sell sugar or permissible to sell an item. Malt, for example, might be used for different reasons. It's permissible to sell it. Grapes can be used for different reasons. It's permissible to sell it because the people are using it for positive and negative. You're not responsible for that. But he said when there is something which you can't see the positive, then it, obviously the selling of it becomes, I'm not going to give a fatwa, I'm not a mufti. But, you know, you have to look at what is the benefit of selling that. And, of course, he raises this in terms of fireworks. What actual benefit there is in fireworks other than actually burning money and wasting money? And one of the aspects that Quran has been so, you know, vociferous about and emphasis, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. And the difference between israf and tabdhir in the Holy Quran, israf means spending more than what is necessary on items that are essential. So food is essential, but you go beyond the limit, that is israf. And Allah says, لا تسرفوا, don't be wasteful. But tabdhir is spending money in something which is not beneficial at all. No benefit from the worldly point of view, no benefit from the akhirat point of view. And in that, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. I think we should really look at this practice, if it is done within Muslim circles, very, very seriously, and ponder over it and reflect over it.
A sister sending a message through saying that, Mawlana, in 2016, I would love to pay more attention to Allah, less to worries, stress, fitna, and people who complain too much. Love my life, pleasing my Creator.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah for that. And that's a resolution which is equal to our teachings, Alhamdulillah, very, very fair. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that all of our resolutions in that far. I like the point that I want to stay away from fitna. Subhanallah, beautiful, beautiful. One of my pet dislikes, Mawlana Mufsab, has been, I just don't like pettiness. I just cannot stand people who are petty. Even with regard to Masla Masail, I mean, I think I'm entitled to do those aspects. Halakal Munatti'u Mutanatti'un. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, destroyed are those people who nitpick on religion. And this is like this, this is like that. And of course, there's a very famous incident, Wallahu Alam, some people have said, whether it is Imam Wanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi or someone else, when someone came and asked and said that a mosquito blood has come onto my clothes or onto my body, is my salat made, is my wuzu correct, etc. And he came from Kufa, and he came from in Iraq, and Imam Wanifa Rahimullah said, Subhanallah, you worried about the blood of the mosquito and you shed the blood of the grandson of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah. You know, and then one of my pet dislikes has been, I always dislike pettiness in relationships, in people's views. It has been one of my pet dislikes. And of course, when someone says that you have to stay away from fitna, subhanAllah, you got my thumbs up on that one.
Someone asking a question, Mawlana, that lots of Muslims on social media wishing Muslims and non-Muslims a happy new year. Can you please shed some light on that?
There's few ways with regard to it. I mean, I think we have to be very careful. One of the things is, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, he who imitates a nation become one of them. And of course, it's very important for us to understand that if one adopts the cultures and way of lives of other people, then of course it means that we are pleased, we are giving approval of such ways and customs. The way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken about this hadith, he who imitates a nation becomes one of them, that if a Muslim adopts the ways of others, and especially the transgressors, he will be associated with them in sin. This hadith is not only a moral hint, it is not only a moral command, but also an objective reality and statement, which lays down the inevitability of Muslims being assimilated by the culture which they imitate. Let me just repeat that. The hadith, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, whoever imitates a nation becomes one of them. This hadith denotes that when you adopt the ways of others and transgressors, you will be associated with them in sin. It also, together with it being a moral hint, it's also an objective reality which lays down the inevitability of Muslims being assimilated by any non-Muslim customs they imitate. Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah, is one of the great sociologists, and he said, I could see the fall of Spain when I saw Muslims imitating other cultures when I went to Spain. And he made some very, valid criticism about what was happening in Spain at that time, which proved to be very, very true thereafter. So I think, a very important point with regard to it. If you're going to imitate, you're going to become part of it. And especially Islam is very, can I carry on, Juan?
Yes.
Islam is very sensitive with regard to its distinctive identity. Like, for example, I'll just give you an example. We are not allowed to make salat or make sijda three times during the day. Sunrise, sunset, and zawal. One of the reasons is people who worship the sun, they worship at that time, sunrise, sunset, and zawal time. And in fact, many people will say, well, no, who worships the sun in today's time? I was quite surprised to read in one of the Times magazine that there are certain forms of yoga and certain forms of meditation that they still do the meditation at that time, sunrise, sunset, and zawal. So if Muslims are performing prayers at that time, someone can get confused that you are worshipping the sun. Because of that slight hint of imitating, Islam has prohibited you from even making sijda at that time. Although sijda is such a great ibadah that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, As-sajidu yasjudu bayna qadamayhi ar-Rahman, that a person who makes sijda, it is as if he's making sijda on the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is prohibited because it might give a false impression of you imitating another nation. So if such is the aspect of the protecting the distinctive identity of Islam, we have to be very careful with regard to imitating a nation, especially with regard to transgression or celebration or doing things. However, if one is forced in his workplace, for example, then instead of doing Christmas, or which has a religious connotation, and of course could be a means of imitation, I think this whole particular aspect of wishing people good over the season, I'm not sure whether it can be completely correct, but if you have to, perhaps that is one of the lesser alternatives can be used. But never ever use aspects that go into the religious connotations of other religious groups.
We go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah.
How are you, Maulana Bam?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Rukia.
Ji.
I'd like to say a few words about the holidays. I think wherever parents go, take your children with. Don't leave them at home. Let your children with you. Keep them under your eyes always. You go out, take them with. Don't leave them at home. And Maulana, no friends. Friends is your parents, your brothers, your sisters, not outsiders. All right, they can have friends, let them come home, but don't send your children out. And always remember them to read your namaz on time and your Quran. Even if it's holidays, always remind them Allah is watching us all the time. And namaz is for everyone, small or big, we have to read our namaz. Allah handane, Allah pak neki jaye nek tofi de. Honi oladone bi Allah neki jaye nek tofi de, Allah pak kuzutika, inshallah. And may Allah bless every home with goodness, happiness, life, and everything that our Muslim year requires, inshallah. And Allah pak reward you all for the beautiful program we have on Radio Islam every day. May Allah reward you year in the year after, inshallah.
Amen.
Maulana, I'd like to say one more thing. Inshallah, make dua for all the sick people. There are very, very sick people everywhere. Inshallah, Allah give them complete shifa. And all those who have passed away, Allah Pak give them genital fitters. That's my dua for them all, inshallah. And all of you too.
Amen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for that, and may Allah Ta'ala Allahumma shfi maradana wa marad al-Muslimin. Allah Ta'ala grant complete cure and shifa for our sick people and the sick of the Ummah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Jazakallah for that call.
Here's a message, Ma. It says, a small reminder. Don't get too excited about the New Year stuff. Only the calendar has changed. The spouse, the job, and the targets remain the same.
Yes, I always make mention of someone who said, a humorous type of message. He said, I hope Jacob Zuma doesn't do the countdown. I think the aspect is, what is different? What is different between 11:59 p.m. on the 31st of December and 12 a.m. the moment the new day starts, according to the solar calendar, whatever it is. Well, what is different? Other than perhaps you have come one moment closer towards your destination, one moment closer towards your death. And I think people need to look at it that way. Really, what is the celebration from going from 11:59 p.m. into 12 a.m.? Really, is it 12 p.m. or is it, 12 a.m.? What difference is it? There's no real major difference in terms of something to celebrate about. What is the difference between that 1 second, 11:59 p.m. and 12 a.m.? Really, I don't know if someone can make sense into that. Really, it doesn't make any sense that what is the celebration from 1 second to the other second, other than you have coming closer towards your death. And I think this is something that is just so important for us to understand this aspect. Sometimes we do follow things, and we follow things just blindly, rather than following it with a degree of understanding.
Someone's saying, well, perhaps you could just share your thoughts on it. My parents and I had a difficult 2015, and with the help of Almighty Allah, has opened up doors for me with one step to Allah. Allah opens 10 doors for a person. Jazakallah to my parents for standing by me through this difficult period of mine. Inshallah, 2016 will be better for me and my parents with Allah's help. Focus on Allah and you will get the inner peace and contentment.
Absolutely nothing wrong in that particular sentiment. There's absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, I would say that if you had a particular year, and if you're counting it in 2015, that I've had a difficult year, as I said in the beginning, that yes, it is better for us to use the lunar calendar because of it being divinely sanctioned and wisdom of Almighty Allah and more blessed, all of that in its place. But it is not haram to use the solar method of calculating time. And if you're using that as a method of calculating time without giving it preference over the lunar, and you're just looking at it from this year 2015 was such a year that had perhaps difficult situations, and towards the end of the year there was things that were starting to perk up, and there were things that were looking a little bit more positive, and I hope it will continue in 2016. There is absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, I would just say ameen to your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue your upward trend. The way you said that there was difficulty, but alhamdulillah, your parents stood by you, and towards the end of the year, you saw some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. May we say that, inshallah, you will see even further light, and maybe as Komal, inshallah, have less load shedding, then you will see further light, inshallah.
In 2016, the son says, inshallah, I would love to stop listening to backbiting. It's not my culture to maghiba about people, alhamdulillah, but there's so many women who come to me backbiting about people, and I don't ever entertain these talks, but neither do I stop these people of backbiting, because I don't know how to tell them that I'm not in favor of backbiting. Mona, your advice?
Well, there's a hadith of Nabi Karim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mustami'u ahad al-mukhtabin. The person who listens to backbiting is one who is part of backbiting. So, if for example someone, Allah in the Holy Quran has made mention, وَإِذَا رَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوذُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَعَارِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. If you are seeing people who are speaking against this command of Almighty Allah, against the command of Allah will also be backbiting, then فَعَارِضْ عَنْهُمْ, then stay away from that particular conversation, and join them, حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ, and join them if they change the topic from something that is wrong into something that is right. So if, for example, you don't like backbiting, you don't like to backbite, then in a similar manner, you should also be one who avoids listening to backbiting. So if you don't have the moral courage to be able to do so, perhaps one very good thing nowadays is, instead of being judgmental, telling that it's haram, you're not supposed to do it, just if someone speaks about something and you're not happy with it, instead of really going into a moralizing sermon, which sometimes people become even more adamant of doing it even more, only to say, let us change the subject into something more positive. So just sort of change the subject in a good way. So instead of, coming down upon people who say in today's time people don't like, just say that maybe it's better that we, inshallah, have, let us change it into something that is more positive.
Someone asking an advice and saying that, we're watching the dollar-rand rate all the time, and this year has been bad. What advice do you give in terms of people monitoring that and feeling depressed?
Well, I don't know. It depends whether you are importer or exporter. If you're an exporter, you'll be quite happy with it. But I suppose there's nothing wrong. I think sometimes, obviously when you start seeing And of course, I had visitors recently from UK, and they came and they said, you know, 22 rands to a pound, and you felt like, as if, you know, they're regarding your country like a third world country, as it's got no value in its currency. You do feel a little down. And of course, when people start going for holidays and they still go abroad, and then when they do calculate, they do realize that they're going to spend more rands to be able to buy things. But then let's just have a perspective with regard to it. Some people say that, do you remember the time when 75 cents used to buy you a pound? And do you remember the time when the dollar used to be 2 rand or 1 rand 25? I said, well, yes, 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 but can you tell me, were people traveling more that time or this time?
Mm.
I mean, really, with all the dollar rate, or it is a pound, are people doing more trade now, or they did it when the dollar was equal to the rand? Or when, for example, even before that, when a rand was even more powerful from the currency point of view than a pound, are people traveling more? Are people going more for Hajj and Umrah now and then? You know, so I just sometimes feel that don't we make a little too much with regard to that? And of course, obviously, there is nothing wrong in, especially given the price of commodities, whether it be oil, whether it be petrol, whether it be things that you import, which of course South Africa by and large imports more than what it exports, especially with regard to basic essentials, then definitely you do get worried. But when you take it and look at it from a broader perspective, you think, subhanAllah, are people going more for Umrah now? And there was that WhatsApp message that people were sending around, that quota of Johannesburg is gone for Umrah, quota in Dubai, quota in Durban, and quota on the Krispy Kreme's queue.
Yes, that has become a reality, these pop-up shops. Last year it was the Magnum shop winner, this year the Krispy Kreme. Well, we haven't taken our advert, so what we're going to do is we'll rather wrap up. We have a minute or so to wrap up your final thoughts and closing comments.
Yes, I think first of all, the first aspect with regard to it, if people are looking at, you know, I'm not going to give a fatwa with regard to it. I say sometimes if you are in a position and you see things which look exciting, I'm not going to say it's haram, but all at the end of the day, don't buy into that particular aspect in such a way that you start admiring things that are from other civilizations and culture. Bear in mind that imitation is a sign of inferiority and weakness. You know, we have this this whole particular aspect that imitation is the highest form of flattery. It means that by imitating someone, you are essentially saying they are better, even in that small aspect. And in fact, one of the great remarkable aspects, where have our ulama of the past put the babu tashabbuh? Where have they put the chapter of imitation? You'll be surprised. Mukhzab, it's quite surprising. I read a book of Qari Tayyib Rahimahullah. Qari Tayyib Rahimahullah used to say that babu tashabbuh by the ulama of the past had been put under the category of babu irtidad. Because once you start imitating a nation in one of its aspects, you say it's better than us in its eating methods or this, then you start imitating and regarding themselves superior in other matters. And that could even go right up to your thoughts and even go right up to your iman. So people have to be very careful with regard to imitation. At the end of the day, there is nothing wrong that if you're coming into a new year, the new year is always a time in which people look at things a little differently. They feel that now is a new challenge, a new time to regroup, a new time to look at my life. And of course, if we are going to do that, then let us do it with a positive mindset and to be able to do things that are really going to be beneficial to us, not in the short term, but in the long term, both for this world and in the after.
Speaking about regrouping, we hope the Proteas will regroup.
Yeah, hopefully we are. Definitely, we hope they will regroup.
Jazakumullah khair.
Okay.
Jazakumullah khair for the informative program. That's how we leave it for this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.